Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. Whether you're buying, selling, or just exploring your options, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you can trust to navigate the real estate market with ease. Visit jocelynbradley.com to learn more. And let's get started at the Ask for Football Army Football Show.
Hello and welcome, Army fans. It is a great week to be an Army fan. Won the second leg of the Commander-in-Chief's Trophy, which means that yet again, Army-Navy is going to be the showdown championship game for the CIC. Gents, how are we doing?
Good, man. This show is so much more fun to do after a win when the team looks good. You know, there might be such a thing as good writing about bad football, but I feel like we jumped that shark quite a while ago, and it was good to see the team just come out and get it done.
Rob?
Yeah, it's a great game. And my takes are going to be full of talking about the defensive line, if not surprising. But generally, good contest, good outcome. And then, you know, that was just one of many crazy games on Saturday. So if you watch college football at all this weekend, like, you got your fill of great contests. So
haven't talked about this one, though. If you have YouTube TV, you only got about 40% of that great content. But if you want 100% coverage, Rob, who can you go talk to?
All right. So if you've listened to this show at all, you know that we have a sponsor here. If you're PCSing to the Fort Bragg area, we have the realtor for you. Jocelyn Bradley is a member of the Long Gray Line, class of 2010, and served as a logistics officer in the Army. She honed her passion for impacting people's lives. Now, as a dedicated realtor, she brings that same commitment to helping you find your dream home. Jocelyn provides exceptional service when she's working for you, and she has a tailored home buying experience that meets your needs. Beyond Fort Bragg, Jocelyn has an extensive network of trusted veteran realtors that spans the country and is ready to support you no matter where your PCS takes you. Whether you're relocating locally or across the nation, Jocelyn's recommendations come at no cost, and she can connect you with professionals of integrity in the market that you're going to. As a proud supporter of the Ask for Football team this season, Jocelyn is a realtor that you can trust to guide you to a home. Reach out today and let her make your next move effortless. Thanks.
All right, so we are going to start off the show a little different today. Instead of getting straight into the recap, we are just going to have it out and talk about one of the big decisions in the game, and then we'll take ourselves through the recap. So a little over 2 minutes to go. Army's trying to run down the clock. I want to get this up because I want to know exactly the down and distance and all that kind of stuff. So pulling it up here. So with exactly 2 minutes and 19 seconds left to go, or 2 minutes and 22 seconds is when they call the timeout. 2 minutes and 22 seconds left. Army's got the ball, and it was, I think, officially a fourth and one. It was a long one. It was probably, you know, 4 feet. I think originally they called it a fourth and two and then downgraded it. But a long one, fourth and goal, 2 minutes and 22 seconds to go. Air Force is out of timeouts, and the only way they have to stop the clock is the 2 minute timeout. Army is on their own 26 yard line, up 7 points. You go for it. I don't want to say it's 100% over, right? Because if you go for it, it hits the 2 minute timeout. I guess it is, right? Because it'll hit the two minute timeout, and then you can run it out over three downs. So it is over. So if you get it, it's over. So let's say it's a 50-50 shot of getting it. It's 50% chance the game's over, 50% chance Air Force gets the ball down seven at the 26-yard line. So 26 yards to go instead of, say, 66 yards to go. What are your initial thoughts? Obviously, hindsight's 20/20, but let's try to, you know, academically, honestly put ourselves in that moment. How are we feeling?
I mean, there's more, as we said before we started the show, there's more ways that things can go your way if you go for it. I think that their chances of making that, just based on the statistics of the way the team has been playing this season, were closer to 80%. But even if it's 50-50, right, it's not like Air Force has 100% chance of scoring a touchdown just because they're on the 26-yard line. I mean, your defense has stoned them all day, had just gotten a strip sack. There's there's no reason to necessarily believe that they were going to tie the game up there. Now, they did, but when Air Force got the ball, I didn't necessarily think, oh, they're automatically going in. So
sure, but yeah. they're it's more automatic than if they had 66 yards to go.
In other words, it is, but
short field.
Army had been playing, you know, prevent defense between the 20s all game, and it was going to come down to red zone defense.
That to me is the key, is right. It is the previous drive, Air Force marched down the field, and Army basically let them throw underneath routes all they wanted to their heart's content, right?
Yeah.
And they just weren't going to get beat deep. So to me, it's, would you rather give them the ball on the 26 with 2:22 to go, or would you rather give them the ball on the 26 with 1:22 to go? And in one of those situations, your defense is tired from letting Air Force run under routes. That I think is a huge part of it. Now, like Dan said, that part ended up not mattering. The other huge part is, if Air Force scores with 30 seconds to go, 40 seconds to go, all
you're screwed.
Yeah.
Well, you don't get the ball back, and you're daring Air Force to go for two with a minute and 40 seconds to go, or whatever they ended up scoring with, a minute 20, whatever it was. You can't go for two in that situation, because even if you get it, now you've given Army four downs over the length of the field to go kick a field goal. You don't want to do that to Army. You want to be in a tie. Because if you're in a tie and Army's got a fourth and three on their own 30, then Army's got a punt and you're giving yourself overtime. Where if you dare Army to, you know, you're not daring Army, you're forcing Army to be in four down territory over the length of the field. So you ensure, because the one huge downside to going for it in that situation is if Air Force gets the ball and goes for two, that's how they win the game, right? And that's the biggest downside there can be. And you're almost preventing that by happening by going for it.
Yeah, but you know, the two things that you can't account for is, like, my man tripped him. Like, lucky break. That was like a shoestring tackle if you ever saw one. That's the first
part. It was a literal shoestring tackle. He got it by the shoestring.
Yeah. But the other part of it is, statistically, when you look at the Air Force defense, you know, you're scoring a lot more. They're in the 90s. When people get in the red zone, you have an opportunity to get a field goal or a touchdown. So, you know, all those statistics, you know, when you toss those in the whiz bang machine and come out, it more than likely says go. Right. So I'd like to see what the actual percentage was, but, you know,
here's my point with the whole percentage thing. Why I don't think it's necessarily 80-20. There are, like, if we're playing Charlotte, it might be 90-10, right? But there are a few things that make it, in my mind, probably not 80-20. Number one, you're playing Air Force. An Army called a run between the tackles. So Air Force has one linebacker worth his salt. You know, that linebacker is going to be plugging whatever hole is there.
Yeah.
It's a defense that knows generally what you're trying to do. Now, if Army's got a play to the perimeter that they think they can trick Air Force on, fine, right? Yeah. But Army picked to run between the tackles. They know Air Force is going to be prepared for whatever the play call is, and they're going to have their fifth-year senior linebacker there ready to plug whatever hole it is. And so, yeah, it might have been a shoestring tackle, but that isn't a shoestring tackle against Charlotte. That's an easy first down. Against Air Force, that's when that sort of thing happens. Additionally, it's towards the end of the game, and you've had a lot of short situation plays, so you've had to call a lot of plays in that situation already. So they have seen a lot of that part of the playbook.
But dude, they just ran zone left. Like, they ran their best play with their best player,
and there was no trickery there at all.
So
that's absolutely my point. That's my point is, against Charlotte, like, yeah, that's probably an 85-90% chance. Against Air Force, I don't think it's that high. Now, that being said, I think it's still an easy decision to go for.
The play was right there. It's just that when the nose tackle got knocked down, he got knocked down to the left instead of the right, and literally the difference.
Yeah. You know, and the only thing that I would say is, like, with all the wrinkles that we added this week offensively, can we get, like, a fake brotherly shove? You know, like can we line up under center, make it look like we're going for the, you know.
Oh, I thought this week too.
You know, the bush push, or, you know, fake it to the fullback, have him jump like he's trying to go over the top and just tiptoe around the corner.
I mean, I absolutely thought that during this game too, that they should pull that out and like run a pitch or something wide when just, all those guys are jammed up in there.
Just something silly, or even like fake the fullback dive and just like hand it Statue of Liberty play to short or something, and he runs for like 9,000 yards. Who knows? But I mean, I think the probability of success goes down depending upon your competition, like James said. But when you're that successful going for it on fourth down, I think you go. Like I don't think there was a moment of hesitation in Coach Perkins' mind at all.
Army is the best fourth down team in the country, and you want to play to your strengths.
Yeah, and that's no, I get that.
That's the argument.
I would say, and I don't think that this isn't a book. Like there are two or three times in the Jeff Munkin tenure where I just refuse to believe that they followed the book. Right? Mm. There's no way that the book said that. And this was not one of those times. Like,
yeah, right.
Like, right. Right.
You can lay out the math and there's more ways that it can go right doing it this way.
Right. And even if it goes wrong, the potential negative downside are minimal because you're up by seven. So, cool. All right. Let's move on to the review. So as we said, Army wins 20-17. Outstanding defensive performance. Obviously, they had a better defensive performance last year. Seven of those points obviously came playing some very loose defense towards the end of the game. Nate Woody refuses to acknowledge it, but he's sort of had Air Force's number over the last few years. Yeah. A few clutch plays on the offensive side, two long passes in particular. We'll talk about it going forward, and a solid kicking game, 2-for-2 on field goals. The offensive attack was held in check for basically 2.5 quarters. Army's offense was working through some things. You know, in the preview this week, we talked about how we thought Army's offensive line would do really, really well against Air Force. And it wasn't quite that. They did well, they got what they needed to do, but it wasn't a dominant performance like we had hoped. But they were able to get enough of a push where they could punish the secondary, less so with perimeter running and more so with passing when the time came.
I gotta stop here and say, you know, a lot of times some of these plays that got blown up were not blown up because of O-line play. They were blown up because a fullback didn't pick up something or because we read the hole incorrectly. I'll bet that the O-line grades out very well in this game.
Yes. And if there's one, and you know, we'll get into it. If there's one silver lining in this game, it's Braden Bartosz.
For sure.
And how well he played at fullback. Very, very much Kanye Udoh like, reminded me a lot of Kanye Udoh play. And if the offense initially went 3 and out a couple of times, and then they hit a 38-yard run and a 40-yard touchdown pass to Noah Short to take a 7-3 lead. I want to talk about this formation a little bit. Let's get into that. They call it the ninja formation. I guess they use it a lot in high school. So you have a
He called it the lonesome polecat after the game.
Oh, did they? Okay, I saw on Twitter somebody called it a ninja formation. So you put trips on one side, twins on the other, five O linemen bunched tight, and a quarterback, you know, solo by himself by the line of scrimmage. I would say that formation was probably used five times throughout the game. One of those five times ended up in an illegal formation penalty, and the other four times were positive. Right. Two were kind of like, you know, probably, you know, shoves or slightly good. One was a pretty big run, and then one was that 40-yard touchdown to Noah Short. So kind of neat. Haven't seen that before in a Jeff Munkin offense. I'd like to know where that, which assistant brought that to the table. I'm sure we'll never find out. It's a trade secret, but that was kind of cool to see.
We always want them to try something new in these games, and they tried something new, and they threw it 40 yards down the field twice.
Yeah.
Right. That was a cool little twist in the game plan. The second quarter, Black Knight defense forced a punt and interception that led to an Army field goal, and they had a blocked field goal, which made it a 10-3 game at the half. Third quarter was Air Force centric. They started a 6.5 minute drive with an interception, and then a 7-minute drive where they scored a touchdown to tie it up. I will say that point in the game was the first time I started to feel nervous at all. Like even when Army was down early, I didn't really feel nervous because the defense was doing its job and it was only a matter of time for the offense to click. And it wasn't until, you know, Air Force had eaten up, you know, at that point it was probably like 12 of 15 minutes of the second half where I was, and it was a tie game where I was kind of like, all right, you know, crap or get out the pot. Army ran three plays in that quarter and the defense looked gassed. So in the fourth quarter, Army starts that 13-play, 8-minute drive to go back up 17-10. They had a strip sack in the red zone in Air Force's second to last drive. And then they got the stop when they needed. And then we already talked about going for it before the, oh gosh, how long was the pass to Brady Anderson?
40 yards.
Another 40 yards.
Yeah.
Now that one wasn't out of that formation, correct? That was
No. He just, he rolled right and gunned it.
Yeah. So
he is so good though with that play. Just roll out of the pocket, set your feet and throw. I mean, that's gotta be, he must've done that in high school because that's gotta be his best thing.
Yes. I would say Helms's downside is when he's passing still in the pocket and he's slightly rushed, he tends to underthrow quite a bit. But if he's got the space on a rollout, he can lead receivers much better than I would say even Bryson Daly could. It was good to see. Obviously, Anderson takes advantage of the junior secondary and sets up the game-winning pass. Takes on the game. We'll start with you, Rob.
Yeah, so, of course, great defensive turnout this week. Cody Harris-Miller was missed, and you could tell the difference of having a mature nose tackle on the defensive line. It made a difference. A lot more of the guys were getting loose. Thank you for that. One of the things I noticed, too, and it's starting to become a trend in college football, and you heard it in the offseason, a lot of coaches talk about winning the middle eight. And Army was doing that. So you win the last 4 minutes of the first half and the first 4 minutes of the second half. And when you look at how the defense played in those moments, you know, they got an interception and a missed kick. And then they got an interception coming into, you know, the second part of the first 4 minutes of the second half. It was a little bit 6 minutes in, roughly, was the interception. So they disrupted the drive and took control of the game. I think defense played well. You know, offensively, my take is pretty straightforward. You know, bottom line is like, hey, look, add some wrinkles. They did. You know, I have no complaints about that. I think if you do something different, particularly in those games, now everybody has to figure out how to defend that, you know, the Texas Lone Star Polecat or whatever the hell formation that is. But the other part of it is I think, you know, knowing how young their secondary was, that's a great formation to throw at them because who am I covering? Because as a free safety and I've got multiple receivers out there, there's five receivers, I got to cover someone. Well, if one of them's a tackle, who do I cover down on? You know, so it made just enough confusion to create opportunities. But all in all, I think defense played well. Great contest for the defense. Offense, you know, they added some wrinkles. I think, you know, moving the pocket for Cale Helms is probably the way that we need to move forward. And start sprinkling that in through the rest of this season and probably bring it up for next year. You know, if he's going to be the lead guy, moving the pocket helps. And like when you look at the American, the quarterbacks that have had a lot of success in that are the guys that are mobile enough to move the pocket and throw on the run. And so we'll see a lot more of that, you know, Army's seeing a lot more of it anyway. So I think, you know, overcoming some of those mismatches, you're creating those mismatches by moving the pocket, you know, so you don't have to be great at pass blocking. You just got to be good enough.
Yeah, for sure.
Dan, what do you think, if you had to grade the offense and the defense based on what our pregame predictions were from last week, what would you give them?
Well, I don't want to downgrade either the offense or the defense because the game didn't go the way that we said it was going to go, right? I mean, let's don't fantasy book the football game. Let's deal with what we saw. But we thought Air Force was going to be explosive and that Army would need to hold the ball and you know, run and hold the ball for 36 minutes to beat these guys. And in fact, Air Force was kind of plotting twice and didn't get in the end zone a lot. And Army was explosive as all hell. You know, Air Force had 23 first downs to Army's 15, outgained the Black Knights 335 to 295. So despite having, you know, seven more first downs, they only picked up 40 more yards. That's actually incredible. You know, they hit the 40 and 42 yard passing plays plus 10 yarders. I mean, they didn't throw a lot, but they threw enough and they ran for more yards per carry and more yards overall. I mean, I don't necessarily want to give them an A, especially on offense, because I think we all know that they left some plays on the field, but you know, that defense definitely gets an A, and I guess that the offense probably gets a B plus. They accomplished the mission. You know, yes. They finished drives.
So I got the stats up here. Army ran 54 plays. Air Force ran 68 plays. Air Force held the ball for 34 minutes. And somehow, given the fact that Army got absolutely dominated in the time of, you know, the time of possession statistic, Army is still the number one time of possession team in the country.
Yeah.
Which tells you how the season's gone so far.
Yeah, I mean, it is okay to hit long passing plays and to be explosive. Like, that's actually good.
Right. Especially in these Service Academy games also.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, and that's the other part of it is, like, if you look at it, the explosives had to be the difference in the game, because both of these teams are going to chew up the clock. So whoever got the explosive play was going to be the difference, you know. And if you would have said that, you know, for most Service Academy games, I bet if we were go back and look at the history over the last 3 to 5 years, those have been the differences in the game, is that one big chunk yardage play, like 20, 25 yards or 30, 35 yards going for a touchdown. Those are typically the difference in Service Academy ball games because the time of possession is so close.
Dan, you have any other takes?
No, I mean, but there's something else, you know, we're going to talk about something else that I think is kind of important a little later. And I don't really want to bring it up now, unless you do want to bring it up now, in which case we've got a little discussion topic. You want to do that here?
Sure.
Okay, so in the Firstie Club, Brian Brennan brought up kind of a long mailbag question. So we've promoted this out of the mailbag because I've heard it a lot. And I've had this ongoing discussion with Terry for like 2 days, because Terry hates the offense, and he, you know, because they're not throwing to the tight ends enough. And so I'm always trying to talk him down off the ledge. So Brian asks, can you guys dive into the rotation in the backfield and your thoughts on it? Rendina seems to be exclusively a blocker. Reed got two carries and his performance has been lackluster. Briggs finally got some run. Short barely got any rushes. I don't think I agree with that. Smith was AWOL. I'm going to assume he was hurt. God's power is new. I mean, okay, let's give the guy a chance. He's a plebe. But it seems like it's very concentrated on Helms being the one true runner who's ripe for getting stonewalled every once in a while. And you know, just to hold the mic for one more minute. Yeah, you know, I think two things. First off, when you're a quarterback and you're learning to run the triple option, you tend to call your own number a lot. I mean, go back and look at the old Tyler games when he first started running the offense, and the dude was just holding the rock all the time. But the other thing is, this is not the offense that they thought they were going to have, right? They thought they would have either Dwayne Coleman or Ethan Washington under center, and instead they've got Helms. And they thought they'd have Reed as the featured back, and instead they've got Bartosz and Carson Smith. And I don't know who they thought they'd have on the O-line, but the only firstie is left guard Will Jeffcoat. And even at receiver, like Liam Fortner, who's a firstie, is out hurt, and they've got yearling Brady Anderson. So this is in no way the offense that you thought you were getting over the summer. And so for these guys to occasionally struggle and miss reads and all that stuff, like, guys, it's a bunch of yearlings and cows out there. Yes, of course, they're still learning to get this right. And they weren't even the number ones over summer.
Yeah. A few things. So I think the biggest point that you just hit was that there are really, it's going to open up a much bigger can of worms than we were anticipating. But Dan and I have talked about this offline before. There's really two ways to run a Service Academy offense with a triple option offense with the modern blocking rules. One is this slippery quarterback, and one is this Bryson Daly style extra fullback under center. And I think what the experiment this year has showed us has showed us is that it is far more preferable to have the extra fullback who can roll out and throw every once in a while than it is to try to slip your quarterback, by a level of defenders, right? It's much easier to slip that quarterback by when you can block below the waist a little bit more liberally. When you've restricted who can block below the waist, it becomes harder to slip that guy past the second level. It's really hard to do. So I think Army tried to do that this year, given who they thought they were going to have at quarterback, ended up with a 20-pound lighter version of Bryson Daly at quarterback because their third string ended up there. And now they're trying to switch back to a Bryson Daly offense midseason. And that doesn't just change what the quarterback does. It changes what the offensive line does. It changes what Noah Short does. It changes what the fullbacks do. And I'll say this. Yeah, Noah Short didn't come up big on the rushing stat sheet this weekend. He had three carries for 9 yards. But Noah Short was so impactful. Noah Short took the one big linebacker out of a large number of plays. Braden Bartosz doesn't break those big runs if it's not for Noah Short drawing attention. So I don't want to discount Noah Short's.
He caught a 40-yard touchdown pass and a 10-yard pass.
Sure.
And he took a 10-yard sweep on the final 90-second drive. That's three plays, and all of them were game-breaking.
Yeah, sure. Well, I'll put my defensive hat on real quick, right? And the best part about having all this confusion on our offense makes it super, super hard to prepare for, right? It's like I can prep for the triple option, but I don't know which fullback I'm going to see, right? Because Bartosz is completely different from Medina. And so, like, if I see those two guys, like, yeah, I can kind of, suspect or audible or whatever, but, like, if Rendina carries the ball and he freaking breaks one, well, crap, that wasn't supposed to happen, because he's the blocker. But that's the thing that's the good part of it is you're putting all these different guys in different positions and allowing them to move. My only criticism of the offense right now, and I'll say it, and I probably said it 100 times already this season, like, Hayden Reed needs to be a shotgun B back, or he needs to, like, move him to tight end or something else.
They could move him back to slot back.
The slot back. Yeah. He needs to be a slot back because he needs vision, right? He needs the vision and the extra couple steps.
He can't play slot back. He's 220 pounds.
I mean, they had him there last year.
Yeah. I mean, he's a big back. I don't care.
You can pitch to a 220 pound back on the edge.
True. Like,
it's not illegal.
And I'm not saying it's illegal, but
yeah. But when you look at those matchups, like, he just needs a head of steam and a little bit more vision. Right. And that's my only comment about that. But like I said, the more guys that we get in the offense and, are cranking out different formations, different freaking types of looks, it makes it very, very difficult because now I have to make personnel changes to account for the personnel that's on there. Because if I've got Bartosz and Short in there, now I need two fast guys to cover these guys if they go into a pass. So it changes the way that I play defense from a defensive perspective. So, again, yes, it seems confusing at sometimes, but, allowing these guys to develop is probably the most important thing. And when you're struggling in your season, probably the best thing that you can do is put the younger guys in and let them develop.
The few points from the first club. Yeah, we still don't know if Reed is 100% from injury. Yeah,
that's fair.
It's a good point. And then Rendina, he blocks a lot when he's in. He's only got 10 carries on the year. We kind of saw the reverse of this a lot with what's his name? The guy who ran like 230 times without losing a yard.
Oh,
Buchanan. Yeah. So, like, we kind of saw the reverse of that. We're like, Buchanan came in the game in a 3rd and 1 or a 4th and 1, and he would get the ball 99 times out of 100 and get his yard. So it's not necessarily the worst thing in the world. But I think that you probably need to run a few combos where he's taking the ball and then Helms follows. I do agree with that. We'll see what they do with that going forward. All right. Let's move on to the awards. All right. Let's start off with the player of the game.
I had fullback Briggs Bartosz, 11 carries, 74 yards, had a good day blocking too. He's best fullback on the team right now. That's awesome. Maybe you're like,
Rob?
Yeah, Cody Harris-Miller. Like, him coming back, like, everybody else was busting loose. Like, you wouldn't have had all those defensive stops had he not been soaking up double teams.
I put mine in here last, and I couldn't believe that it hadn't been taken yet. But American Conference Special Teams Player of the Week, Dawson Jones.
There you go.
All right, let's move on to the play of the game, Dan.
We didn't talk about this one yet, but Helms threw to Bartosz. Right, you know, just a quick out, went for 8 yards. It was a design throw. Helms didn't see anything. He stepped up in the pocket, which we've barely seen. I mean, in the pocket, not out of the pocket. Still didn't see anything. Dumped it down to Bartosz as his outward receiver. Nobody was there. My man ran for 18 yards. Awesome play. You know, third read. We need that more of that. That is what we need.
Yeah, I think that he never intended to throw to Bartosz. I think the throw to Bartosz was always going to be a fake, the first one. And then he looked downfield.
And didn't see it.
Yeah. The entire defense bit on it. And then he didn't see it and just went right back to him. I think it looked like the first pump was always going to be a fake.
Yeah, I agree with that. That was supposed to go deep, and it just wasn't there. And that's right. Fine. You know, don't throw it if it's not there. That's good.
We need more of those underneath spots. On some of these plays. Rob, you got one?
Bosa's sack, where he just came in free, or like just...
Oh, he jumped on him?
Yeah, just dove on him. Like, that was awesome. I mean, it was pretty inspirational for the rest of the defense, too. You know, that was the kind of game that they were having, so I think that's just the way that it should be.
I will go with, I think, the most creative play of the game, which is to the Air Force Academy's administrative staff. So the game opens with CBS showing Air Force's coach shoving an Army coach.
Yeah.
And in the post game, they get the Colorado Springs paper to write an article with a single source who was the coach in question, saying Army players were doing all sorts of things that annoyed them. And so then that was the result of it. Number one, if you are a coach saying a player made me do it, you don't deserve to be a college football coach. Number two, if your single source is the coach in question, shut up. thought that was one of the more creative journalistic moments of.
Did he push Mike Vitti? Because that's a good way to die.
I don't think it was Mike Vitti. I didn't get a glimpse. It just I opened. You know, I turned on the game, and all of a sudden, I just see a full shove from an Air Force coach. And that's how it started. And so they had to do a little media makeup there. All right. Next, let's go to the game.
Shall we play a game?
So we have two trivia questions today. The first of which, let me grab from my phone that fell down. Can you name the last three games in which Army hit a walk-off field goal? And that doesn't mean they hit a field goal in the beginning of overtime and then got a stop. It doesn't mean they hit a field goal and there was 1 second left and then had to kick off an actual walk-off field goal.
Last three.
Two of these are very gettable. Firsty Club, let's have no hints.
What was it? The first AD Army-Navy game. Gwen Moretti with the boot.
Correct. That was the most recent 2022 Army Navy game. Navy fumbled on the half yard line or the 1 foot line in the beginning of second overtime.
Oh yeah.
And then Army hit the walk off field goal.
Is the Kelvin Hopkins 2017 Temple game? Is that one of them?
No, that enough? I believe was a Kelvin Hopkins. No, that went to overtime and Temple missed something in overtime.
Oh yeah, right. Okay, so they didn't walk it off. Okay. Ray, walk it off is exclusively a baseball term.
Yeah, Ray, you and I'll have to talk more offline because walk off in baseball has been that term has been used so much that it doesn't mean anything anymore. Not even all walk off home runs are real walk offs. It has to be an absolute no doubter to where the defense literally just walks off. anyway, so that there's that one. The other one's gettable, and I have a hint if you guys want it.
I need the hint, man. I have no idea. I'm drawing a blank here.
Bowl game.
Oh, definitely not the West Virginia game because they missed that one. The Mizzou game.
Mizzou game. Yep. Three quarterbacks down the field.
Yep.
Hit the 47-yard time.
It's Jabari Laws.
Yes.
Yep.
Now you could argue that wasn't a walk-off because you had to wait for the refs to call the penalty for two number sixes on the defense. And then the last one's going to be a hard one. It was in 2009. Do you have any guesses?
No, that was like That's no, sorry. I'm okay. Old, man. My memory
Army, is not Army versus Vanderbilt in Mikey Stadium.
Beautiful.
All right. Trivia question number two. So right now, every single Service Academy head coach has a winning Service Academy record. Who was the last coach at each of the Service Academies to leave to leave the Service Academy with a losing record in Service Academy games and CIC matchups?
No, in CIC matchups.
Well, with Army, that's pretty easy because it was the previous coach. God, what was his name? I'm gonna struggle with his name.
Probably Ross.
No. After Ross.
No.
The Ellerson.
Yeah,
Richard. Ellerson. So that one, that's a layup.
Okay.
For Air Force, geez, you got to go back before the Fisher to Berry era, don't you?
Yeah. You know this coach. I'm gonna give you a hint. Yes, you do have to go pre Fisher to Berry. Do you want to take a guess before I give you a hint?
I mean, if you're expecting me to know a bunch of historic Air Force coaches, then that's not going to occur.
You know Air Force past coaches? I don't even remember.
You know him. You don't know him as an Air Force coach.
No.
Parcells from Bill David Parcells. Green?
Yes. Bill Parcells went 0-2 in his 1 year at Air Force.
Unbelievable.
And then the Navy coach was in the 90s.
It's got to be, the one immediately before before Paul Johnson, mm-hmm. who I watched him lose to Army plenty of times, but I couldn't tell you his name.
And by the way, I'm not including interim head coaches here.
No, sure.
Yeah.
Okay. No. Charlie Weatherby.
Yeah.
There you go.
David Graves off the top. You got two of them. Good job. Nice. And no prize.
All right. If you want a prize, tell us, Dan, could you tell us what our friend Craig can get you?
Yeah, your prize is a mortgage on your house brought to you by Craig Oxane. Friends, Craig is the area sales manager for the Money Store. He's a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, but based out of Chicago. He is one of the most successful VA lenders in the country. Why? Because he gives you super competitive rates, gives you the best deal he possibly can, and also he has absolutely five-star customer service. Everyone who has used him, as Ray can attest, will tell you that he has five-star service. Guys, the mortgage process is super confusing. Interest rates moving all over the place. You have to sign all this paperwork. Like, it's crazy. There's so much going on. It's very stressful. You would like to deal with somebody that you can call on the phone and have a conversation if you just need to, which you totally could. And this is how the West Point Network functions, right? Craig is helping us stay in business here at Ask for Football, and we're helping you get the best deal on a mortgage that we possibly can by introducing you to the very man you need to meet. Plus, Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. Huge savings, like $1,300. Get that money, guys, $1,300. So Craig Oxen, area sales manager at the Money Store. Check him out. Link is on our website. Craig and Jocelyn both have like little business cards on the Ask for Football site, and you just click on there. You'll be talking to them in a couple of hours. Man, it's too easy.
All right, let's move on to Temple. Gents, Temple looks much better than last year. New head coach. They beat UMass 42-10 to open the season, then beat Howard. They lost to Oklahoma at home, and then Georgia Tech on the road. Georgia Tech, obviously a one-loss ACC school in the rankings. Beat UTSA at home by 6. They were beating Navy until like the last 30 seconds of the game, and then Navy won by a point. They beat Charlotte, as everyone does in the American this year. They let Tulsa hang around and force overtime, but ended up with the win. And then they got Dan, you wrote this.
Swagger jacked.
I just want to make sure nobody thinks that I use words like swagger jacked in my normal lingo. By ECU 54-14. Let's start with the offense. You want to take over offense, Dan?
Yeah. Quarterback Evan Simon has been the story this year. He is 143 of 229 passing for almost 1,700 yards. That's about 62%. He's got 21 touchdowns against just one pick. He threw that one and only pick this season last week against ECU, but he's taken 13 sacks. Also got 58 carries for 181 yards and 2 touchdowns. He's the team's third leading rusher. he gets all the press, but really this is very much a run first team. Running backs Jay Ducker and Hunter Smith power the offense. Collectively, those dudes have 178 carries for about 1,000 yards and 8 rushing touchdowns. And when ECU shut those dudes down this week, the wheels absolutely came off that Temple offense. They have 4 leading receivers with around 25 catches. 3 are wide receivers, and 1 is tight end Peter Clark. Clark was outstanding in the Navy game. That guy really punished the mids quite a bit. So, yeah, man, 23 passing touchdowns against just 12 touchdowns running the ball. But I'm telling you, that running game is really the key to this offense.
All right, Rob, how about the defense?
On to the defense. So the defense has been hit or miss this season. They did a great job against UTSA's Robert Henry when he was the leading rusher, but they let Navy and ECU run all over him. Temple has 121st ranked defense. They're allowing 192 yards per game at 5.3 yards per carry. They've given up 20 rushing TDs, but they have a decent third down defense, allowing opponents to convert around 39% of the time. This is because they're a terrific pass defense. If you don't get the yardage on the ground, you're screwed. Linebacker Curly Ordonez leads the team in tackles. He has 56 tackles, 32 solos, plus 3 sacks, plus a sack, 3 passes defended, and a forced fumble. Eric Stewart comes in third to tackle. Still, he's 3 of Temple's top 5 tacklers in the secondary. Safety Avery Powell comes up and run support a lot. And then Temple's defensive has forced 7 interceptions, 7 fumbles. They don't turn the ball over much, so that puts them at plus 11 turnover margin, which makes them third. So, I mean, they've got a decent enough defense. They're going to make some plays. Again, it just depends on, you know, how they're feeling. And if you get into a time of possession game, you know, odds are you have a better chance of beating those guys.
All right, special teams. Place kicker Carl Harden is perfect on PATs, 8 of 10 on field goals. He's got a miss from 30-plus and 50-plus punter Dante Atten. Averaged 45-yard last week, got 3 inside the 20 and 0 touchbacks. I believe Temple is one of the better. They're not as good as Air Force at putting, but they are one of the top 25 teams in the country.
Dude punted 7 times last week and had 0 touchbacks. That's pretty good.
Pretty good. Now, I don't know how much of that was due to Temple not being in plus territory, but all right, weather and betting line. So 40% chance of rain at Mikey. Temps in the mid-50s at kickoff. Potentially getting up to 60 degrees. Line opened at 5.5. Army favorite has since moved to a full touchdown. Should be a close game, so that's a pretty big line. I think a lot of these bettors did not expect what happened last week with Air Force to happen. The over-under is at 47.5. Again, that seems high to me. We hammered that under last week. I kind of think that could happen again. We will see. To start, right, this is a sold-out Mikey game. I will say this Temple team could be a little scary, much improved from last year. I'm very glad this is a home game, and I am very glad that this is a sold-out home game. Dan, what are your thoughts?
I was really, really worried about this game until I saw the way Tulsa took it to these guys, and then they just collapsed. I don't know if they're missing a couple of players, but the game plays to Army strengths. Like, this Temple team is good. Don't get me wrong. This is not going to be like last year where Army just murdered these guys, even though you got a lot of the same players. But if Army can run the ball, stop the run, and avoid turnovers, they should win. You know, looking for good red zone defense and for Cale Helms to continue developing. Pretty straightforward, really.
Rob?
Yeah, so when you look at Temple's record, like, they are, you know, a couple plays away from having a much better record. Very, very similar in Army's case. You know, they probably have a few more breaks than Army has gotten so far this season, so that's why they have the one extra win. But, like, they could have easily, you know, beat Navy. You know, they lost in overtime to them. And, like, if you got to go to OT or almost OT with Tulsa, you know, Tulsa is probably – you know, on paper and from the eye test, the worst team in the American this season. And so it's like, hey, what's going on? And
you Charlotte know, would like a word.
Yeah. I mean, if nobody's buying tickets to watch Tulsa and freaking Charlotte play football, right? Just to be honest. But the reality of it is like games that they should win, they've managed to win. And then the games that were tough, this, like, statistically, this game's probably more like a push than anything else. You know, it's going to come down to who plays mistake-free football. You know, it's mistake-free complimentary football. I think that's going to be the difference in the game.
All right, so I'm looking at something real quick. So Temple's got a new coaching staff this year. Their defensive coordinator came from Rice, was the defensive coordinator out there, Brian Smith. He was there from 2018 to 2024. He faced Army twice as a defensive coordinator there. And then also during that time, he faced Navy once. And he faced Navy again earlier this year as Temple's DC. So he's seen the option before. He knows what he's doing. That kind of worries me. It also kind of worries me that Temple on offense is trying to do some of the same things that Army's trying to do. Mm. They want to hold the ball. They held the ball for 34 minutes against Navy. I mean, Navy averaged 6.6 yards per carry against Temple, and they barely squeaked out a win. So that's what worries me. Yeah, no turnovers. So that's the big thing. Temple is one of, I believe, 9 teams in the country who generate, whose turnover margin is greater than 1 per game. In other words, they are getting more than 1 turnover compared to turnovers given up. So they're getting an extra possession. And then let me pull up the actual stat because I looked it up earlier. Give me 1 second. I want to get this right. They have generated 62 points off of turnovers this year. That's almost a touchdown per game.
That's insane.
They've spotted themselves a touchdown a game just from turnovers. So absolutely imperative to not turn the ball over. Navy didn't turn the ball over, and yet they barely squeaked it out. So that's the part, the game control stuff, their ability to punt the football, their lack of turn. They only have 2 turnovers all year, 1 interception, 1 fumble. And by the way, again, Navy barely squeaked out a win. Navy got a turnover against them, didn't turn the ball over themselves, ran for 6.6 yards, but only had the ball for 26 minutes and barely won.
Navy's offense didn't do anything in the first half.
True, but they also averaged 6.6 yards. Like, well, if Army averages 6.6 yards in a game this year against Temple, you're expecting them to win 42-20. Like,
yeah, that's true. Okay.
Or 42-14. So they play this ball control. Army has to win the ball control. They have to win those ball control fundamentals. The rest will take care of itself. You trust your defense. You play good red zone defense. Temple has a really bad red zone defense. They have a pretty bad, mediocre to bad third down defense, although so does Army. You really have to control the game and control the field. And if you can do that, you have a really good chance to win this game. That's I think my take. You guys have any other takes?
Yeah, just really quick. It's Army football all over again, right? Hold the ball, control the clock, don't make mistakes. 1-0. I mean,
for sure.
It sounds like a cliche, but like, hey, cliches are based in fact.
Yeah, it's pretty simple, but it's Saturday is going to be an exciting and white knuckle affair. I have a feeling.
Yeah.
So
this is, I believe, the second sellout of the season. First was Parents Weekend, and there's a few more events going on this weekend. But it's good to see a sold out crowd for a big game like this. This game, I believe, is imperative for both teams' bowl chances.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll have to reach out to Army and figure it out, but I don't think Army can rely on a win against Navy for bowl eligibility.
They cannot. That is definitely true.
In the past, they have been able to, but I don't know if that's still the case now or not. Per the rules, they should be able to, but they might not want to force the issue. So Army's basically got, what, 3 games to get 2 wins?
Yes. Yeah.
They have,
that's correct. That is the reality.
UTSA, Tulsa, and Temple. This feels like UTSA feels like the hardest game. I don't know if that's the case. You don't want to start picking wins, but this is imperative. You don't want to end up with Tulsa and UTSA left on your schedule, needing to win both. Yeah. All right. I think that's it for takes on the game. Let's go to fact or fiction.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
All right. Dan said Army holds William Sarka under 50% completion percentage. Everyone went fiction. Everybody said fact, except for Zopp. Get on Zopp. He went 13-17, but he did have two interceptions. And then the one non-pass was the strip sack, which was effectively an incompletion, but obviously wasn't. Rob, Army forces a turnover that leads to point. That was a fact agreement, and we were correct. I said Colin Madison interception. That was fiction, but I will say Colin Madison showed out.
Yeah.
Gavin Shields.
100%.
And who was the other guy that had interception besides Gavin Shields?
Casey Larkin.
They both had, Casey Larkin both had picks. Madison led the team in tackles, 10 solo tackles, 11 total. And he had some big breakups, caused a lot of pressure. He showed out in this game. So I'll take that as a half loss. Robin Zott said fiction. Firsty Club, Mike Davis, Army runs reverse or halfback pass. Everyone said fact, and it was fiction. We saw very little lateral creativity in this game. Not that there wasn't creativity, but we did not see a lot of coast-to-coast creativity in this game, which I think was one of the more interesting.
Air Force tried it and got smoked.
It also worked for them a couple of times, but yes, they had some big negative plays on that. Army also had a negative play early on a perimeter play, and I think that kind of one or two. I think they were trying to test those safeties early, and yeah, it didn't work. And then they just said, okay, well, we'll throw, and that worked. West Point Dave says, Army throws two touchdown passes against Air Force's inexperienced secondary. Everyone said fiction. They threw one to Noah Short on the 40-yarder. All right, let's go this week. Dan.
Someone other than Cale Helms leads the team in rushing this week. What are the odds?
Has that happened yet this year?
It other has than not happened.
In games where Dwayne Coleman was the quarterback?
It definitely has not happened. In games in which Cale Helms has played significant snaps, this thing has not occurred.
Who is the fullback that ran for 75 yards?
Bartosz.
That was Bartosz, and yeah, he didn't outrun, or was that a Coleman game?
That was a Coleman game. That was in the North Texas game. Although that was when Helms was still under center.
Okay.
So that was the lone bright spot in the three turnover mess that was started that game.
Yeah. I'm going to say fiction on that one. And just because of what they said when Ross was doing his recap of the coaches' interviews, is Helms wants to be Bryson Dale. He wants the contact. And I think that after this weekend, Munkin's going to give him a little more trust, right? He's been running the ball a lot and not fumbling. So I think they're going to keep feeding him. Rob?
I'm going to say fiction for that reason. I mean, he's going to keep getting the rock, you know. I mean, it's the recipe for winning. At some point, we got to distribute the ball. But, like, when he's running and he's successful, I mean, you kind of have to. But, you know, the fullback toss was an interesting wrinkle, too. That was something that we haven't seen all season with the direct toss, the short direct toss to the fullback. So, if Bartosz is in there or even Smith, I think that would be another wrinkle that I would like to see. But I don't see those guys breaking loose, you know. Plus, if you get 3 yards a carry and you get 22 carries or 28 carries, you're going to outrush anybody unless they break a big one.
All right.
I'm going to say fact, and I'm going to count on somebody breaking a big one, and you guys can laugh at me at next week if, you know, it just doesn't go our way.
Rob, you have yours?
Yeah, I'm going to say Bosom gets a sack and a tackle for loss this week.
I assume you mean multiple. In other words, the sack can't count as the TFL.
Correct. The sack will not count as a TFL. So it'll be one sack, one tackle for loss.
Ooh, I don't think they get sacked a lot. That's the problem.
He's taken 13 sacks this season. That is kind of a lot.
I mean, they've played a lot of games. That's just over one per game.
They've played it's nine almost games, per right? Games. I think they've played eight.
I thought
six, five and two.
No. They're 5-4. They've played nine games. So they have less than a sack and a half per game. I'm going to go fiction just because I really don't think they're going to get sacked.
Unfortunately, listen, we'll see, right? But unfortunately, I think those sacks are coming on And you've seen how much they're stunting now that we're getting a little bit more into the season. So I don't necessarily think that the team might get a sack and a tackle for loss, but I don't know that it's going to be a D end who gets that. Although Bolson played very well this week, like very well. So that was pretty encouraging.
All right. My factor fiction is going to be that Army doubles Temple's turnovers on the season. In other words, they have two. They're going to have four by the end of this week.
Oh,
they're two turnovers. Two turnovers Army's going to force this week.
I will say fiction. I think they force one turnover. Okay. Sorry. I wish I believed that, but I don't.
Yeah, I'm going to say fiction because they, for the same reason why you don't think they're going to get sacks. They don't throw that much, you know.
I think the reason, one of the reasons that they don't turn the ball over a lot is because they play in an empty Lincoln Financial stadium where everyone can hear everything and there are no miscommunications. But we're playing in front of a sold out Mikey crowd. So I'm going to go fact.
All right, here's hoping.
Yeah.
Definitely, we've seen that screw up a couple of these quarterbacks a few times. So, yeah.
Especially in some of the American games last year.
Yeah.
All right. Firsty clubs for Poppy C. We've averaged more than 5.5 yards per carry. I'm going to say fact just because Navy averaged 6.6. So I think we could do that.
All right. You talk me into it. I'll go with fact as well.
Yeah, I'll say fact. Fact agreement.
All right. Firsty club again. West Point Dave, we run for 300 yards against Temple. We've done that twice this year, once against North Texas and once against Charlotte. I'm going to go fiction on that one. I think they want to hold the ball too much.
So they don't hit 300 yards rushing because they're...
No, I think Temple wants to hold the ball too much. Like, we're not have time with it.
Oh, so it's just a short-ass game and there's not that many yards.
Right.
Yeah, I'm gonna say fiction because of the time of possession.
So this was going to be my fact or fiction, and then I saw that Dave took it, and I was like, okay, I'll come up with something else. But I'm going to say fact because I think they just got to make this happen, and I continue to believe that this offense is improving, and I want to see them continue to improve. And there's no reason why you'd rather rush for 300 than, you know, and throw for 20 than rush for 275 and throw for 100. Like, that's not actually better, but still, yeah.
Yeah, I think we'll see a decent amount of passing again. I think that they're starting to find their groove as to how much passing they want to do with Helms, especially after this last week. All right, that wraps it up. Mailbag questions.
You've got mail.
All right. If you are a member of the Firsty Club, you have the honor of sending in mailbag questions that we answer on the show. If you're not a member, go join the Best Game Day chat around and get access to early articles, early podcasts, and the ability to send us your questions. Sir Poppy C, do we have a problem with finishing games? North Texas, Tulane, and Air Force all seem like they were too close for comfort. And in two of those three, we couldn't quite pull it out. I mean, in addition, you could talk about Tarleton and someone else. Is there another early one? Or no, I guess that's
K-State. Yeah.
Well, K-State, we did pull. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think so. I would say this. I would say we're of the five very close games, Army's won two of them and lost three of them. They've beaten a team they should have lost to. They lost a team that they should have lost to. They lost to teams they should have beaten. Like, it's a weird mix, and it's what happens when you don't have a lot of seniority on your team.
Yeah. 11 players on offense, two firsties, and you thought you were probably going to have six.
Yeah.
That's we are where we are.
Right. Yeah. There's a huge wisdom in finishing out games that comes with experience that we're building right now, right? 2023 felt very similar. Terry asks, is there concern that the leading tackler versus Air Force was a safety? Rob, you want to take this one?
Yeah, just real quick. I think he came up a lot in run support. And one of the things is, you know, Air Force almost abandoned the pass in the second half. After throwing that second pick, they started running. Like, Zarka got most of their yardage running the ball. So if a safety's coming up in run support, making tackles, like, it makes that number happen.
Yeah, the whole – when we're evaluating, like we did last week, when we're evaluating what percentage of a team's tackles come from its secondary versus its front seven, that's only really a good gauge when they're playing non-option teams.
Yeah, for sure.
That all kind of goes out the window when you're playing option teams.
If they're using the pitch or running outside, it is in fact your safety. So you have to come up and smoke that. So.
Absolutely. Brian Brennan asks, which senior is going to be the biggest loss this spring? Which underclassman seems poised to be a big contributor next year? Dan, you have any thoughts?
Will Jeffcoat, left guard, is probably on offense. On defense, any of the safeties are going to be a giant loss.
Those I'd say both of the inside linebackers are going to be big losses too. So, in terms of underclassmen, I mean, Briggs Bartosz.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many of them.
Yeah. There's a lot. That's just the first one off the top of my head. Ken asks, if Navy-Notre Dame goes as expected, how early does Navy make a business decision with Memphis and USF remaining? Rob, I know you have some things here. I'll just say I don't think Notre Dame has any effect on how Navy is going to compete in Memphis and USF. Navy still has control of their own destiny as far as going to the American Conference Championship game, and Notre Dame doesn't affect that. Now, if they lose to Memphis and you're going into South Florida and you're locked out of an American Championship game, then maybe you start to have those discussions. But I don't think they're going to be locked out. Even if they lose to Memphis, I don't think they'll be locked out of an American Championship game necessarily. They might not control their own destiny, but they might still have a chance at the American, because there's been so much infighting in the American this year. So I don't see that. Rob?
Navy's staring on the barrel of the hardest part of their season. They could potentially lose 3 out of 4, maybe all 4. You know, like, they've got a tough schedule ahead of them, and they've got all teams that have 1 or 2 losses. So I think, you know, going into the Army Navy game, plus with the CIC on the line, that's a more pressure situation for them than it is for anybody else. And then, quite honestly, we'll see how many people get nicked up in the Notre Dame game, because Notre Dame is going to be a physical contest. And so that could change their calculus as well, because people can get hit. But we'll see. Like, if the first half goes well, maybe they keep people in. If they start getting blown out, I'm sure they'll pull some folks just to preserve the rest of their season.
Right. Or get good players tuned up. James Pagano asks, Coach Worley had some unique formations this week. Do you think Coach Munkin keeps him more conservative? Are we going to run some crazy plays versus Navy this year too? I have a little bit of insight on this. I don't know if you guys saw Jeff Munkin went on John Gruden's podcast, and John Gruden interviewed him, and they talked a little bit about how Munkin is actually really creative in his play calling, but dials it back considerably given his personnel, which we've always known is the case. I think Munkin, you know, I think he keeps him conservative. I think Munkin has to keep himself conservative, I guess, is the point, generally speaking. But in those CIC matchups, there's much more latitude about what you want to do at the playbook, because these defenses are just so used to it that you have to try a few different tools. So that's what I would say. Dan, you got anything on that one?
I think you're going to see some hurry up in that game, because they've been so good with the hurry up this season generally. And it's so hard to run against that Navy defense. I mean, they're way better than Air Force, and it was hard to run against the Air Force defense. So what do you do? Well, you got to lean into your strengths, and you got a quarterback who is really, really good in these 2-minute offenses. So yeah, that's what I would like to see. I don't know that I think they'll do that first though.
All right. I think that wraps it up for the mailbag. For favorite thing, I got a couple of things. So first, the Star Series update. Army's up 4-2 at the moment. Their wins are in volleyball, women's rugby, women's cross country, and men's soccer. The Navy won in golf and men's cross country. And actually, I believe it's 4.5 to 2.5 because women's soccer was a tie.
Correct. I mean, it went to a draw, so I just didn't count it.
But right. 4-2-1. The next Star Series matchup is Sprint Football in 2 weekends. That is at West Point this weekend. Army has its last division game in Sprint Football. If they win that, they clinch going to the championship game. Navy, I believe, is in the same boat. The weird thing is usually Army Navy Sprint isn't the last regular season game of the season. This year it is. So if that happens, Army and Navy theoretically would play the final regular season game, and then a week later, 2 weeks later, whenever the championship game is, play again in the championship game. So I don't know how
that
the
stinks.
CSFL, yeah, I don't know how the CSFL would handle that. I don't know if they would go into it, just say, okay, you've won your divisions, this is now the championship game.
That's definitely not what's going to happen.
I know. I mean, it's not like Sprint football is making a ton of money, so maybe they would.
There's no way.
But that's the next matchup. That's November.
Men's rugby is also same weekend, I believe.
Men's rugby is labeled incorrectly on Army's site, so I'll have to talk to Eric about that. I believe men's it's listed as October 18th, but that's not right. Men and women swim and dive, December 5th is next after those.
Okay.
So we'll see. Lastly, in terms of favorite thing, both men's and women's basketball started the season today. Women's basketball has a new head coach, Katie Kuster. She originally was an assistant coach at Loyola in the Patriot League, and then she went to the A-10. She was an assistant at St. Joe's for a number of years, and now she's the head coach at Army. Beat a Division III warm-up game today in Pace at Mikey. Men's basketball, by the time this comes out, you guys will know the result, but they start in 23 minutes. Big men's basketball news, though, is that on Veterans Day weekend, Duke is coming to Crystal Arena
on
Tuesday. Obviously, that is a sold-out game that will be on CBS Sports Network. So that's pretty cool. You guys got anything else?
Last thing, we had Lynn Fern on site for the Army Air Force game. She took a bunch of awesome picks. We put some in a recap article. We've already got some on Patreon. A bigger patch is coming later this week. So if you like Ask for Football and you've always thought about supporting us, this is a good week to do it, because you can also check out Lynn's galleries, and she'll have a lot more from the Temple and Tulsa games. So that's it. Thanks.
And if you've joined Ask for Football because you like Lynn's photography, great. We love having you. It's like $2 more to get all the other perks. So think about joining the Firsty Club. With that, gents, beat Temple.
Beat them.
Beat them.
Thanks for listening to this week's Ask for Football Army Football Show. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into Army football. Remember, whether you're cheering in the stands or following along from home, get all your updates on the Army football team at askforfootball.com. And as a special thanks, we would like to thank our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you need. Visit jocelynbradley.com for all your real estate needs. Don't forget, subscribe, leave us a review, and follow us on social media for all the latest updates. Until next time, go Army, beat Navy!